June the 1st, 9 o'clock a.m., meeting between Mayor Leary and Commissioner Tommy Mackin.
Great. Tom, thank you.
Sure. Glad we get a chance to do this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we'd like to probably do this more often, but given schedules and given the necessity to put this...
To follow all the rules.
Exactly.
Yes.
It becomes a little bit more difficult. I really, the reason I wanted to do this with yourself and the other commission members is just to talk to you and get your feedback on what it is you want to accomplish. We have, you know, at least a year together. We have an election coming up. But I want to make sure we get through some things and work as a team. And even if we don't agree, we don't have to belabor certain things.
Yeah.
I think you and I probably have the best...
I think we're pretty good at that.
Yeah, I think you and I kind of look at each other and go, okay, are we done? Like, let's we all know where we're standing. Let's
move on. Call a vote and let's go. We know where we're going. So.
Exactly. So I have some things, but I really, and hopefully I want to base a lot of the stuff that I want to get accomplished on what you guys all want to get accomplished too. And, you know, maybe we can try to knock out some things that we're all really close on.
Yeah.
Get those things taken care of. And then the things that need a little bit more work and a little bit more massaging.
I mean, that was one of the reasons I wanted to get, when we brought back up the 90-day plan.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was a good measuring stick. At least it gave us a heads up as to what was on, you know, what was...
Are these feeding back a little bit, Cindy?
They are.
Okay.
There
you go. You know, so I think it's a good idea, Steve, just to... Let's tackle the easy stuff first.
Yeah.
Get things out of the way that we know we can and work on the other stuff. I sat here and I'm happy to.
Yeah, go through your list.
Share this. And it's a list, but it's also just kind of looking at. We've got a lot of stuff. I think in my 5 years here, this is the biggest docket of things that I've seen on the agenda. I mean, going forth, and I'll just tune down. I mean, still talking about the urban forest plan. Got historic preservation ordinance somewhere. Got the library coming up, wherever that goes, and we'll talk about that. We've got the golf course coming up. We've got a visioning process going on. All of those. I mean, you put that together and say, that's all coming up here in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
And you put those things in combination, and that's probably more than we've tackled as a commission in a short amount of time since I've sat on there. I think there's some things coming up. I think this year is going to be a interesting budget year, Steve.
I agree.
I think there's. I think we've got to take a look at the police department. I think there's some staffing there that perhaps we need to address, mm-hmm. and I'm going to let Chief bring that up when the time comes. But that's just my on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff in parks. There's and whether you throw the golf course in with that or whatnot, but I think I've run into more people that play football on
flag
on Joe Walter Field than than I ever knew in the past.
Yep.
And I know there's a discussion about, you know, how we deal with that and what happens there. A lot of stuff in the CRA, which is kind of outside the commission purview, but as CRA board members, I think that's there, and it's something we wrestle with every year. But I think we've been together long enough that we may be able to tackle this in a thoughtful manner. Is our how we deal with nonprofits?
Mm-hmm.
I mean that continually gets. You know, we wait until 11:59, and then we. Start talking about it, and it always winds up, I don't want to say unpleasant, but nobody walks away from that happy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a way to... I think Randy did a good job last year of saying, okay, here's at least how we're going to fund it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a... You know, if he were here, I'd tell him. I think that was a great... Just... We've got these entities, whether it's the general fund or the two enterprise funds, you know, water, sewer, and electrical, but here's how we're going to fund nonprofits, and we're going to do that, then maybe we as a commission can get a little more straightforward on how that will be distributed over the course of a year so that folks know coming in ahead of time, Because I think last year we hit with a bunch of, oh, wows, I didn't know there was...
I think we do every year.
We do every year, but I would love to just say, hey, there's something.
The
and I don't, yeah, whether it's a process, and again, it'll always be dependent upon dollars available.
Sure.
But maybe we can kind of corral that a little more. And then I think there's probably, and this is just my recent one, I think we ought to talk about our relationship with the boards and their responsibilities. There's some stuff going on that is interesting at the moment. I'll just leave it at that, and we can talk about that as we sit as commissioners. But I really see that first group of things, there's those are going to happen. I mean, some of that stuff, the library and the golf course and the visioning are happening somewhat outside. I mean, we're getting reports back from task force or individuals or whatever on that, and we'll deal with that. I think the big thing this year is our budget. And I think we ought to, my own feeling is perhaps we as commissioners ought to be more involved early on in that with Randy. Because I think my gut is that we've probably found every, we've emptied out the pockets, we've searched under the couch, we've found the lucky pennies on the street. I think we've found every, and Randy's done a great job, and I will not dismiss the rest of the staff that's worked on this.
Sure.
Have done a great job of keeping us, we've got a balanced budget, and we've kept services at a standard that I'm fairly well pleased with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's just a lot of stuff, I mean, the capital improvement stuff that are going to be some big ticket items that I think we have to look at. And that to me is this coming year's biggest challenge to me. The other stuff is going to be, the library, we're going to do a something.
Yeah.
And but I think the budget discussions that we have, I'd like to see us get involved in that.
Well, perhaps coming out of these coffees, we can.
Yeah.
I mean, we can hit Randy saying, listen, I've spoken to the other commission members, and here's kind of some of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's not that it's a bad job or good. I think we just need to get those priorities up there in front so as he and staff are putting these things together.
Yeah, they're aware.
They're aware of that. And because there's...
I'm with you. I don't want to get too far down the path where we kind of say, hey, we didn't talk about, let's throw it out, putting more money to trees.
Yeah.
And you guys got to know that that's a priority with the commission. And I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying.
That is, or if the police department, if we need dollars for the police department, or we need dollars for something else, that we have to know that going in.
Yeah.
As we start to sculpt this, and so we're not at the last minute or whatever. And it has, again, that's.
Well, tell me where you are with the police department. You mentioned the police department. Are you thinking that we're understaffed?
I think if I've tried to follow it, Steve. I think we're down probably, three or four positions as far as, I'll say, feet on the street positions. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see those filled. I don't ever want to have the perception here that we're not. And I don't believe we are in any way, shape, or form compromising
public
safety at all on that. I think we have one of the most fantastic departments anywhere. And so, but I want to make sure that we are meeting those needs, and if they do need two or three more positions, I'd like to discuss that early on.
Let me stop and ask you this question, because maybe I'm asking Michelle. I've heard where I think it's three positions that we kept the line item for. What does that translate to feet on the street? Because it's not three people every shift.
No, it's we're no. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, if it's three people every shift, it's probably nine people because you got to have.
Right.
So
we're talking about a total of three spots.
It's four.
Four spots. Okay.
Four frozen. Four. They've been frozen now for
at least 5-6 years, right?
Seven, maybe. Years. I mean, it's been a while, and so there's four shifts. So that would equate to one per shift.
And how many people on each shift, total?
I think they run a minimum of six, but they can be up to eight per shift, depending, nobody's on vacation, nobody's sick, nobody's in court kind of a thing, they have eight.
So what does that mean? Does that mean an extra person in a car? Does that mean an extra car? Does that mean an extra body at the station, that one person per shift?
I think to get a really accurate answer, we'd have to ask the chief, but my understanding of the situation...
And I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
It's kind of coming out of left field.
No, so. I think it's good.
My understanding of it is that at the time that they were frozen, they came out of administrative positions. So when Chief Ball and Bill McKechnie left, they reorganized and they reduced the number on the management team, and so it didn't have an impact on feet on the street necessarily.
Okay, that's great to know.
It came out of the. Came out of the.
Okay,
but it's been floating out there, and again, I'd like to sit with Chief and just say, hey, are there really? Are you able to do what you need to do? And the same thing goes with Chief White. I think from the fire department, I haven't heard anything that we're understaffed or anything there. The police is the only one that I've heard these positions needed to be filled. And if they do, and I want him to let them know that from an honest standpoint, do you need them or not? Not from a budget standpoint, but do you need them or not? And if you need them, then I'm going to work hard to say yes when we need to find the budget to fill those spots.
Yeah.
And if he's going, no, I'm doing fine and we're all set, I don't need them, they're merely administrative things, then moot point.
Yeah.
And so that's, I rely on him, and as I do with any head of staff or any head of the department. So you've got to be up front and say, I either need them or I don't.
Yeah.
Regardless of the department.
When I get that. I could use more people. Right, man?
Oh, we can always use more people, but again, these were spots that were there, and it's been 5 or 7 years now, and we've grown a little bit, we've changed a little bit, and everything else. Do these, and they may not be administrative spots anymore.
Well, and that's
may
one
be,
important point I was just going to point out is he may use them differently today than they
would
were
have
7 years ago.
And right. I want to be very clear. I want to support the I'm one of the biggest supporters of staff, as well as all of our other groups, police and fire. But we have to be very careful and very cautious about how we go about that. And I think there's also, I'd like to understand newer policing methods. I'd like to understand.
No, that's why I'm going back to Chief and saying, listen, do you need these guys or not? Because that's one of the few departments, other than like fire, that we're not gonna private source that stuff.
Sure, but
those are the ones.
The point I was getting to is that I think that there are new probably means and ways to do things, and as we talk about filling four spots, is there an opportunity to move four spots out?
Yeah.
Let's look at the whole thing more holistically and say we used to have these four spots. Let's try to fill them. There may be a new way to police.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know, but I just know that anytime we're talking about a major a shift, let's take a look at it from all sides.
No, I'm game with that one. That's why I'm going back and saying, all right, Chief.
Let's see how we do this.
What do you
We've
need?
We've been really successful with technology grants in the police department, too.
Yeah.
Really successful. We're probably one of the leaders in the state in terms of technology and bringing grant money to our department. So that's a really good question to have him discuss.
Yeah.
Well, and I think also we've got to be very aware of what's going on in policing these days from a publicity, from a PR standpoint too, and we need to make sure that we are.
There's perceptions.
Yeah, and I think we need to body cameras or something that's been discussed.
Whatever.
We need to take.
Yep.
And I'm happy to do that, Tom.
Yeah. No. And again, it's not an action that I see us taking, Steve. It's more a letting the chief know that. We would like you to take a look at this, and if there are adjustments necessary, let us know.
What does Chief have left? 18 months?
April.
It's April of this coming. Of 16?
April of 16.
That's another big thing.
Yeah. We've got some major.
So as we're talking about this, we need to figure out what that team looks like, and pull them into the discussion. I'd hate to have just to use a bad analogy, but I hate to have somebody walking out the door buying a Cadillac and saying, here you go, guys, here are the keys.
Here's the keys.
And the new guy may want to show.
Have a good life, yeah.
So I think we need to just have that to make sure that there's a little bit more awareness among the commission of what those plans are. I've talked to Randy about that. So.
Steve,
Mr. Stutz, we're not taking comments. No, I'm sorry. We're just not taking comments. This conversation. I would say this to anybody in the room. I apologize. We can talk afterwards, but this is just between Commissioner McMack and I. Thank you. All right, that's policing. Tom, can you talk to me? I know you and I think the commission actually is all
in support of where we are with trees. I know you would like to see more money there, and I would like to see more money there. But I think we need to talk about a timing.
Yeah.
And as you just mentioned, we've got some very serious budget issues. And what I believe is an investment today, this year, 30 years from now, you're not going to be able to tell me whether that tree was planted in 14, 15, 16, 17, or 18, right?
Right.
So if we have, and if we're thinking about the tree canopy long term, which I think we all do, I think we need to be very cautious about front loading too much of it, because we are going to be maintaining this for years. And that's where I know you want more trees planted, and I'm with you there. But I just think we need to take that global perspective on it.
Here's, and I went back and took a look at the last 200, 150 trees or whatever it was that we planted, and about a third of those were not live oaks.
Okay.
And my position is that, yes, we are in a crunch at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're planting anything at the moment, we ought to be just planting live oaks. And that means if it doesn't fit there, don't put something there. Save our money for the trees that have the greatest longevity and the biggest impact long term. We shouldn't be planting dogwoods.
Mm-hmm.
By the other day, they're planting a dogwood out on the street. I'm saying, because of the fact that, yes, we don't have the luxury of saying, let's just go out and plant everything we want to plant,
right,
that we ought to be putting our money where it gets the biggest bang and has the longest term benefit.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there going, okay, the third of the trees we planted I consider to be unfunded liabilities, because they'll last a quarter of the length of time that a live oak will, somewhere down the line, we're going to replace those things two or three times over the life of a live oak.
And if we're placing those where we've decided or discussed a live oak should not go,
we shouldn't. No, I mean, what I'm saying is, we at the moment the city shouldn't be planting anything in the public right of way other than live oaks.
And if
there's plenty of places to put them.
So answer that question. So that's the question I have for you then. So if the right of way is too small to plant live oaks,
don't put anything there right now.
And what are you hoping for? That we change the criteria, or that we
someday we have as our fund, it's almost like it's almost like triage.
Yeah,
I'm not going to treat the acne. I'm going to treat the broken arm.
Sure.
And so at the moment, let's put live oaks in wherever we can, and if it doesn't fit there right now, let's not put them. We talk about let's not front load stuff. I don't want to do that, but the monies I do have.
But I get that. So then what do you do with that barren right-of-way?
At the moment, it's barren right-of-way until we have more funds to put.
But if a live oak does not fit there?
At the moment, we got plenty of places where they do.
I'm good with that.
So at the moment, if somebody else wants to plant something there for the time being, fine.
Are you thinking eventually we'll change the criteria, or are you thinking we'll wrap a sidewalk around it and create a box?
Eventually, when we have the luxury of having money to spend, I'll call on something other than live oaks, we'll put something other than live oak there.
Give me an example of what that means. You're a tree. You know this stuff.
No. I mean, I'll just say they want to put a crepe myrtle there because that's the only thing that fits. Well, I want to spend money on crepe myrtles right now because I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather wait a few more years until we do have additional funds and then come back in and plant.
So would you rather plant the live oak where it's not seen?
I'm talking about right-of-ways.
You're just talking right-of-ways.
Yeah, that's the only place. What we plant in the parks or what we plant on the golf course or anything else,
okay,
is fine. But in public right-of-ways on our streets,
mm-hmm,
I think right now, until our funding improves, we ought to be...
If it can accommodate a live oak, you want to focus on...
Otherwise, I don't want to put anything there for the time being. I'd rather take that live oak and put it somewhere else, because long-term, that's the biggest
payoff. Does the forestry plan... is it configured in that way that we are... And I know there's a lot of things that go into, again, removing trees, but when we talk about strictly planting and we talk about overlaying that with the electric utility, do we have
to Commissioner McMackin's point, do we have that, any kind of leverage in that way? Where we can like kind of look at a road, I'm going to throw one out there, it's not appropriate, but just one of the Kings, East Kingsway, one of those. If all those trees look like they need some work, can we go in there and say, this can accommodate oak, so let's focus on this street? Or are we trying to place and plant?
So,
because that's also a fear, too. If we go in and take down 10 because we can plant 10, are we just screwed up the whole canopy on that road?
We're going to take down what we're going to take down regardless of what we replant. Mm-hmm. That's going forward. And
that's a hazard,
down.
Yep.
And so those are, we're going to take those 10 down no matter what. My point is if coming back in, there's only room for 5 oaks, right? You know, mm-hmm. We take 10 down and there's only room for 5 to go back in. I want to spend my money putting 5 in there, and we'll come back another time and put 5 crepe myrtles in if that's what happens, you know, in a couple of years.
Okay.
So our plan is flexible like that, and we are removing trees based on hazard. Mm-hmm. We're still doing that. Yeah. And so the key difference is right now when we remove a tree based on hazard, you know, we have two lists of trees going right now. We have replacing the trees that are removed, and
right.
We have making progress on vacant spaces. And so right now what we're doing is replacing trees that are removed with something else. And sometimes those are live oaks. And I think, it's in the 75 to 60% range, 65% range that are going back live oaks. But we have put in like tababuyas, dogwoods, I think a few crepe myrtles, in front of somebody's house mm-hmm. where they don't have room for a live oak. And we're using a couple different varieties of oak too. We're also using like a Schumard and there's But what he's saying is skip those.
Yeah, no,
you
really
want to tap into it and go to that list of trees that are vacant.
Yeah.
And then just keep plugging away at the live oaks. And so we can do it either
way. And because we are limited in funds.
Yeah.
And Steve Long, I was fortunate. I got my earlier this year. They took down the great big laurel oak in my front yard went down, and I've got one now that's about that big, and our neighbors and I all joke about it and said, well, it won't be us enjoying that tree,
yeah.
It'll be somebody else, and that's why you plant trees.
Sure.
But long term, with the dollars, at least right now with the dollars we have available, I would rather see them invested in live oak because they get the biggest payback. And it's a 2 or 3 year process until that delta crosses where we're getting more funds available for planting than we do for taking down. When we cross that point,
yeah.
Then let's go back in and.
Hey, Tom, I'm fine with that in general.
Start doing the other one. It's a nuance, but I think it's a noticeable nuance.
I'm fine with that in general, but I do think if there are people and there may be an entire neighborhood that where we haven't figured out that right of way issue yet, and if we're going in and removing hazardous trees, my neighborhood is a great example. They were all laurels. Now our neighborhood
too.
Agreed to extend the curb out 18 inches on each side so that we could replant oaks there. But if our neighborhood did not do that,
couldn't do it at the moment.
We couldn't do it. But those laurels needed to come down, so we would have barren. We would have a barren neighborhood. We would not have anything in front of these homes, and I think we need to be cautious of that because. Something, you guys throw out trees' names more than I do, the tababula tree, that looking out my front door is nicer than not seeing any trees on the street. So I think we need to be
cautious, but I mean, I think just at the moment with the limited funds we have available, mm-hmm. or the fund, I want to say the limited, because we are putting a fair amount of money into this.
It's probably a 3 year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably a 3 year situation before we're going to be.
I call it when the delta,
yeah.
when you reach that point
sure.
where yes, you're able to spend more on planting than you are on cutting down, and conversely, in addition to that, the more we underground, the less we have to deal.
Sure.
I mean, everything is working in our favor. It's just in this first step.
I'm with you. I'm just not at 100%. I'm just not at 100% of it.
Okay.
Because
I'm in a mood of okay. That's what the city ought to be investing in right now. Live oaks, and that's like I said, it's a nuance, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I just think that
okay. Well, I think we are
long term. That's where we.
I think we are. You're just looking for a greater percentage of the investment.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Parks and Rec, Tom, Showalter Ward.
There's like I said, I've probably been. I, 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 I,
think I've been approached by about every senior football player's
father.
I went through the same thing when Emily was at Bishop Moore. She ran track, and they were trying to get the track replaced, and they worked for 3 years to get it replaced, and it was the year after she graduated that they ran into a beautiful track. And I know there's a discussions going on about what do we want to do with our with the football field that we currently allow the county to or the school board to maintain that for years has not been kept up to the level that we would do if it were our field.
Right.
And that's a that's a capital improvement that needed. I think just there's probably a number of items in parks that are out there that every 20 or 30 years you need to make an investment.
I have a sense it's going to be a big parks year.
I think it's
a hardcore investment because I think
and that's something in one way defines us.
Yeah,
I think as a community we are blessed.
Sure.
We're very fortunate we have the park system that we do have, but just like a roof or anything else, every once in a while it happens. I think we're at that point, if not this year or next year, and that's why I want to get the budget discussion going on. I think there's some investments we need to make to maintain that.
You and I got involved with Katie Way early on, and I think the Katie Way pool, and I think that it was, for me, because it didn't represent what I thought Winter Park is. And I think there are some other parks that are on the verge of that. And I agree with you. And I think Showalter, and I think Ward, I think that entire complex.
That entire complex.
When you go to some of these other complexes, when you go to Oviedo, when you go to, Apopka.
Oh, I know. And
we don't have that space.
And I've designed a number of those. And yes, when you've got 50 acres of green space, you can go out and do a state of the art thing. Now, that's one thing. But on the other hand, we've had this wonderful organic growth of these parks over time, and they fit our character. And I think we're on the same page on that. And again, I'm going to look to John and whatnot from Parks and what and our Parks and Rec board to be able to say here are some things that we need to do, and I want to figure out a way to advance those.
I think we've done a very we've been very solid behind our passive parks. I think now it's time to refocus on our active parks.
Because they are...
and it's not just the fields themselves. It's the facilities. You're the bathrooms.
The whole deal. Tell me about the... if I haven't seen the dads, I've seen the moms saying, I don't even want to go in one of those places.
And, I'm with you.
I'd rather have a portalettes out there. So, I think it's... I think that one, to me, is just... When I say parks as a CIP in general, I think there's some discussions that we can have and... We're probably on that same page.
We have a lot of focus on that right now in our internal talks preparing for budget. I mean, we're spending a lot of focus on that right now. And we've just started from an operational side. Beginning May 1st, we started a schedule that allows us to have 7-day-a-week coverage for parks maintenance staff. So we've modified the schedule for all of our employees.
But was that not to, wasn't the big focus of that on Park Avenue and down in the core?
No, we're now also doing it at... Katie Way, MLK Park, Lake Baldwin Park, and Central Park. So on Saturdays and Sundays, we have 7-day-a-week service in all four of those major parks now.
What does that mean, service?
Well, somebody's emptying trash, somebody's doing... I mean, because
the
you go by there on Sunday, and every Sunday at MLK Park, I mean, the place is packed with teams out there playing or practicing. Or I mean, they went by there Sunday, and I think every...
We have
everybody was shorter than this in the city where Winter Park was out there playing. That's
it's great. We have two service workers in each of those parks from 7:30 to 4 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays. So that's really helping us deal with.